Welcome back to The Inspired Educator, empowering new teachers to thrive. I'm your host, Dr. Latoya Crockett, and I'm so excited to have you join us today. This podcast is all about supporting new and aspiring teachers as they navigate the joys and challenges of teaching. Whether you're a first-year teacher, a substitute teacher, or transitioning into education, we are here to uplift and support you as you navigate your teaching journey. My guest is Daryl Warden, a teacher wellness coach, veteran educator, and founder of Teacher Recess Consulting. She's passionate about helping teachers reclaim their joy, create boundaries without guilt, and get clear on what wellness truly looks like. Whether you're nearing burnout, feeling out of alignment, or just needing permission to prioritize yourself, this episode is going to speak to you. Daryl, welcome to The Inspired Educator. We are so glad that you're here today.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes. Before we jump into the podcast, can you give a deeper introduction of yourself? Can you tell us more about you and your journey in education?
Sure. Well, you know, being a special educator by trade and just a teacher, period, I don't think you guys have time for me to list all the degrees and the graduate certificates that I have. But, you know, I used to feel as a student that I was wasting my time going to school because I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. So I have an undergrad in psychology, an undergrad in social work. And then I said, you know what, I'm going to try teaching. And they put me in a self-contained classroom and I fell in love and went back to get my master's in special ed. And then, you know, I have a couple of, you know, 3-4 graduate certificates, you know, admin 1. Yeah, y'all don't have time to listen to all of that. But it's funny. I use all of those things when I was in a classroom, every single one of them. And then a year later, I had a 1-pound, 10-ounce baby who has some different abilities. And so God knew what he was doing to make me a special educator. So like I said, listen, it all worked out in the end. And so now I'm no longer in a classroom. I am an administrator at my central office, and I absolutely love what I do. I love what I do.
So not only do you work within the school system, but you also support educators outside of the school system. Talk to us about your consulting business. What does that look like?
My goodness, let me tell you, I create recess for teachers. Just to be simple, I make sure that teachers learn how to thrive in and outside of the classroom, because happy and healthy teachers create vibrant classrooms.
Yes.
So if you feel good when you walk into a classroom, the children, what I love about children is that they have not learned to ignore that inner feeling, that intuition. And so they pick up on energy that we have taught ourselves to not do anymore, and we forget how to do it. Now, you can get it back, because that's what I teach my teachers. Look, we got to go back to basics, and you're going to have to, you need to get that energy back where you can read people. So children know, and children know who truly love them. Children know who not to mess with. You know that substitute teacher that come up in there, and one substitute teacher, you don't hear a sound. A regular teacher, they in there just popping off. So children read energy. And so it is important that teachers learn how to take their power back. And that is what I help them to do, so that they are good for their families. They're good for their husbands. They're good for their own children, that they are able to be fully present and be able to leave that school energy at school. I teach teachers how to do that, to release that energy. By the way, yes, I'm a board certified clinical hypnotist. So, because I tell you, I just go to school. But it's funny, I use all of these things. And so I teach teachers how to tap into that subconscious part of them that we ignore, so that they just be a better, highest version of themselves.
That is absolutely beautiful. It is something every educator needs.
Yes.
You know, here we really focus on uplifting and supporting our new teachers, especially those first year teachers. And just listening to you now, especially when you said leaving that work energy at work.
My goodness.
That is so difficult for new teachers to balance. And it's understandable too, right? Because as a new teacher, you have so many things to do. You're learning the curriculum, you are learning whatever building you are in. Each building is different. So you're learning how that particular building works. You're trying to be a good member of your team. You're trying to fit into the culture. You know, it's a lot. It is a lot for a new teacher to handle. And so it makes sense that they're going to bring some of their work.
And we soak up other people's energies. It's really, really true. And there is a simple technique that I teach my teachers to release energy. They can either do it when they're walking out the building or when they get into their cars. I always teach them, you at least have to do it when you lay down in your bed. And it's just a simple sentence. I release all energy that does not belong to me, and I take my power back. Words are so powerful that you know how you have something that's like right here in your face and it's so clear and evident that you're like, no, that's too good to be true. My answer can't be right here. I'm supposed to walk around it, walk down the street, go up a mountain, and it's like right here in front of your face. And you need to leave that energy so that when you come back the next day, you are refreshed. And what I also do is I take it a step further. Any technique or strategy that I'm teaching my teachers, I teach them to go in and model it for their students, even students. You have a classroom full of 40 people. You want to take all of 40 energies home with you every single day? No. So I help them to also teach their children to release energy that does not belong to them. It's important.
It is important. It's extremely important. So when you think about releasing that energy and leaving it there in the building, how would new teachers know or be able to identify, like, what is really important? What is it that you take with you that you might carry with you versus, like, what's just noise? What do I leave at the building? What do I need to take with me? How do they identify those, the differentiators?
Well, my framework is the bag framework, and it's basically what's in your bag. We all have, any teacher that does not carry a bag, you're not a real teacher. You're not a true teacher if you don't have a bag and your shoulder is not hurting from that bag. So what I talk about in my keynote and I offer workshops, what's in your bag, is for teachers to really analyze, what are you carrying in that bag? Do you really need it? Is it important for you? Do you need to release it? So I use it as a metaphor for life. So I think that, you know, teachers really need to sit down and say, you know, amongst your laptop, lesson plans, but you're also carrying stress. You're carrying, you know, one of your students' parents died. You feel for him. You're carrying all of those things. So I have a journal that teachers, you know, every night they write, what am I taking out my bag and what am I going to put into my bag tomorrow? And I know it sounds crazy, but when you think about it, we do this to kids all the time. And guess what? It works on adults too. May seem simple, but it works on adults as well.
Absolutely. And it, you know, it doesn't seem silly. Like, it is definitely needed because, you know what? I am a kindergarten teacher. I don't know if I said that, but I'm a kindergarten teacher. So I'm still in the classroom. I do have the babies. So I, you know, just like you, I multitask. I am still in the classroom, but then in the evening, I coach new educators as well. And one of the things that it dawned on me this morning, we walking in the building as we're winding down the school year, we got about 9 days to go. This morning, I was in my classroom working and I heard a veteran teacher walking down the hallway and I heard her say, I don't know why I even took this bag home. I didn't even touch it over the weekend. I didn't even open it. I'm just carrying the same stuff back in the building. And we do that all the time, right? We carry that same weight, that same stress, that same energy, and we do nothing with it. Yeah. It just sits there, right?
Right. And we need to learn how to reevaluate things as well, because we often end up doing what we're used to doing. And we say, oh, you know, that's just what I do. And then my response to that is always, well, when did you decide that? And when I ask people that, it just stops them in their track. Well, you know, I'm so overwhelmed. When did you decide that? Because you can take the time right now to decipher what is priority and what is not. And so for my bag framework, it's a metaphor for building boundaries, aligning with your mindset, and gaining clarity. on what do you want? So I break it down and in the workshop, I mean, we write and stuff. Okay, put that in your bag. And then we talk about, all right, we can take that out. Take that out your bag. They got cute little bags. And so just that action of this little bag and writing things on a card and all of these things that we as teachers, especially with the babies, I'm sure you do stuff like that all the time with the kids. And it's like, we forget that we are still learners as adults. And for a new teacher, it's very important that they gain these skills at the beginning of their career, because the average time for a new teacher to be like, I'm out, deuces, is 3 years. There is a teacher shortage and principals are overwhelmed. And so they have a whole, you know, laundry list of things that they need to do. And they probably say, wellness is something extra. And I work with school leaders and I'm like, no, it is not extra. It is essential. It is a strategy for you to retain teachers in your building. So it is important that we analyze these things and stop in your track. Teachers touch tomorrow. Do y'all know how important we are?
Absolutely. I don't think people
get it. You can't meet not one person unless they've never been to school, right? And even if you're homeschooled, your mom or your dad is your teacher. You still have had a teacher. Everyone has had a teacher. I'm going to say almost, because some people, you know, don't go to school. But it's almost like you can't even think of a person that has not had a teacher. We build tomorrow and we need to be on pedestals, and school leaders need to know that when you take care of your teachers, it is a strategy to build community and culture in your building.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Just as lesson planning, data analyzing, data collection, it's all important. So if you're going to give PD on this new math curriculum that you're getting in, that is just as important as professional development surrounding wellness,
yeah,
especially mental wellness, physical wellness for educators. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because you get to a certain point in the year and you have teachers calling in all the time. There's nobody going to be there to teach their curriculum.
Exactly. And for our children that are receiving special education services, once you start with the substitute teachers, and we love the substitute teachers, but those providers that are listed on that IEP, that's a legal document. So now you're rolling into other things that's going to cause you problems.
Yes. Yes. I always think about placing Band-Aids on a problem, yes, as opposed to actually, yes, treating the actual issue. We keep doing, yes, these surface level things just to get me through the day, get me through the week, get me through the school year. And the Band-Aid just keeps falling off. Like every year, we just keep doing the same thing.
Doing the same thing, expecting a different answer.
Right. The definition of insanity. And hey, we keep coming back to it.
I'm going to say the school district too. I think that what we lack is basic customer service. You know how, look, don't fall out your chair now. Now, you know how when you walk into a store, you have these people and they do all these things. They got these tricks. They got these flowers. Come on over here, get some snacks to get you in the door. And then you don't hear anything else from them.
That's right.
Whatsoever. Basic customer service. And I'm talking about 360 degrees of customer service. That includes your parents. Now, we all know the best thing a classroom teacher can have is a rapport with a parent. The best thing that the school leader can have is a rapport with your teachers. It is the same thing. And people will go above and beyond for people who they truly believe that are genuine and cares about what they need, their needs are. How can I support you? That's what you can do right there. Walking past the classroom. How can I support you today? It may be a Sharpie marker.
Because it really doesn't take much.
It does not take much.
Does not. So when you think about new teachers and the weight that they're carrying, it reminds me of my first year of teaching. And one of the reasons that I was so overwhelmed, even though I loved every minute of it, let me be clear. Like, I loved my first year. It was great. However, I did not set appropriate boundaries. I would say yes to any and everything that was asked of me. I volunteered for things just because I was so excited about being a teacher. When we think about those boundaries, can you describe for us what does a healthy boundary look like for an educator, whether they are a veteran or a new teacher? What does a healthy boundary look like?
The first thing is realizing that no is a complete sentence. And sometimes you just have to say, no, I'm not able to do that. I don't have the capacity to take on lunch duty today. And first of all, y'all better look at them contracts. Let me start there, okay? But I'm going to say you really need to be firm and be able to say no. And for our new teachers, you know, burnout does not show up right away sometimes. Because my first year teacher over years ago, I ended up developing stress-related high blood pressure and migraine headaches. And I'm just thinking, I was sick all the time. My throat was hoarse all the time until, you know, your body gets used to speaking, standing and speaking and walking around all day. Because a good teacher does, you can't teach from behind your desk. So, you know, it's important that you realize that you may not feel burnt out today. So you need to set up those boundaries from the beginning. And I know that there aren't a lot of school districts that really put a lot of money into teacher mentors. Sometimes it's a teacher that's still teaching and she may have an extra period to work with the teacher mentors. I was very blessed. We had a full-time teacher mentor in our building, and it was only four of us. Mm. If I needed a bulletin board, you know, help me with a bulletin board. If I had some behavior problems, my classroom students thought that my mentor was my teacher's aide. She didn't come in to undermine me. She came in like she was my assistant, and she would help me with the behaviors in the room. And so a lot of our new teachers do not have that privilege. Kudos to the school leaders that are putting that money into having full-time teacher mentors. Because let's be clear, what you're learning in school, now you need to know pedagogy. You need to know all of those things. But honey, they're not going to teach you when Johnny comes in and he likes to hit people, or he likes to take something out of people's lunches, or he goes home, he's a sixth grader, and he takes care of his baby sister every night. He's tired, so he don't want to listen to you when he gets in there. There is no amount of education and books that can teach you that. That is a on-the-job learning skill, and our new teachers need help with that. But if they could just get it into their mind, it is okay to say no, and doing more work does not equate to more accolades. It does not.
I have to take a second and process that myself.
Process that.
Because it's a habit. It is a bad habit to feel like you have to keep working all the time.
All the time.
Because you think that's the norm and that's the expectation.
Exactly.
It's not.
It's not.
Nobody wants to continuously work. Nobody. Yeah.
They get too early, they leave late, they go home, they still do work, they're answering phone calls from a parent at 8 o'clock at night. Those are the things that, you know, and parents do appreciate that, but guess what? Parent will understand, oh, it's after school hours, she isn't going to answer her phone. I'm going to call and leave a message in the office tomorrow. It is okay, because you teach people how to treat you.
That's right.
And able to do that from the beginning, no one is going to feel insulted or like, oh, she's all of a sudden not taking my calls. Well, if you never took her calls in the first place after school, you wouldn't even be in that situation of having to explain, well, I'm turning over a new leaf and I'm thinking of myself now. No, think of yourself on day one.
That's right.
On day one.
That's right.
Yeah.
So thinking about burnout, and we've touched on it just a little bit, but I want to go a little bit deeper. So if I am understanding correctly, there is a difference between being burned out because you're exhausted or because you're tired versus being out of alignment.
Yeah.
Can you take us a little bit deeper? What is the difference? So me being burned out because I'm out of alignment versus me being tired.
Yeah. For me, the main difference is if you are experiencing doubt, and you know when your soul and your spirit is heavy, you're out of alignment. If you had a tough week this week, and you know, I always say Johnny, and Johnny was just off every single day. And let's be clear, Johnny had a reason to be off, but it still caused you a little bit of strife in your classroom. So you had a rough week, and you're tired. That's burnout. But when you have burnout and not being aligned, and I truly think that is truly burnt out, because being burnt out and being tired are two totally different things too. And the teacher profession is the number one profession now for burnout at 52%. The teachers are tired, and you cannot always keep someone to stay with a salary, because my mental health, me being a good mother to my children and being a good wife, how about me being good to me? It's immeasurable. There is enough money. There isn't enough money for that. And so, you know, you have to know the difference. But when you are truly out of alignment, it is something that impacts you. It impacts you, I'm going to say 360 degrees again. It's beyond being physically tired. I had gotten to a point when I was teary-eyed driving to work every day. And I'm in my car and I'm holding it in. I'm dropping off my youngest daughter. Then I'm going to the next high school and dropping off my middle daughter. And then I could finally, I'm calling my husband. Like, I don't know how I'm going to go in here today. That is your out of alignment. And I'm going to say true burnout. I almost want to change your question. It's a difference between being tired and burnt out. Because if you got to all the way being burnt out, that is out of alignment. And I was out of alignment with that. And this was over 20 something years later, like maybe two years ago. And that's why I decided to start being in this field of teacher wellness. And I'm thinking, if teachers are not good, this is what we're teaching the next people that's going to be running the world and making decisions for me when I'm 85. Let's change that to 105, because I plan on living a long time. But, you know, we as in this profession, we take on so much more than just teaching. We take on the role of making students feel valued and making them feel respected, so that they know when they grow up, they should be valued, they should be respected. How do you expect these teachers to do this for kids when they don't feel valued or respected? So this job is a serious job. And I think all teachers should take the same oath as doctors: I will do no harm. Because if you aren't straight and you're overwhelmed and you're stressed out, you may say something to a student that will follow them for the rest of their life. I can give you three stories right now of a teacher that said something to me that has followed me. I have released it now, but I still remember it. And children remember things that you may say something that will dim their light, and they will never forget it.
That is so true. That is so true. Let's go back just a little bit before I ask you my next question. You said that you almost wanted to change the question because burnout and tired are two different things. Can you elaborate just a little bit more? Give us the difference. Yeah. How do I know that I am burned out because it's the end of the school year? Yeah. I'm just tired.
Yeah. When you are burnt out, you see signs. Like I said, your spirit is you don't feel good going to work. You don't feel good. You know, like both of us, when you say, oh, I teach the babies, I'm like, oh, you got the babies. Somebody that's burnt out, but you got the kindergarten. You know what I mean? It's a pre-K. There is a difference. You feel burnt out, you're going to feel heavy. And this is what I mean by helping teachers to tap into that subconscious part of them. And I'm sure you do this with the small babies. Go sit with yourself for a minute. That's the purpose of a timeout. You're supposed to go and sit and be quiet, because then it allows your subconscious mind to kick in, because you're quiet, that stillness. And that is something that we need to practice. And so, you know, when you're just tired, because you're able to come back to work, you done rested a little bit and you come back, oh, I'm good. When you're burnt out, you may show up, but you don't show up emotionally. You're not showing up. That's when you know that you are burnt out. You start questioning yourself. You start questioning, do I really want to do this, or I hate going to work. Could you imagine having a job that you hate going to work every single day, and you are in front of these little people, because they're people, and you think they don't feel that energy? Now, I'm not saying you mean to them, but they feel the energy, and every child will remember how you made them feel. It's important. You gotta stop me, because I could talk all day, about this, because we want to make sure that our impact is ongoing. Mm-hmm. So if I really truly impact the student to let them know that they are worthy of saying no to people, or that they are worthy in their feelings, and that they can take time for themselves, guess what they're going to do? They're going to teach that to their kids. It is a, when I tell you, teachers are, we're just call us saints, because that's what we are. And it is a lifelong impact when you show up in your full capacity, you're full of just knowing that I'm worthy of every single thing that I want. I'm going to do my job, but I'm also not going to teach from an empty cup. I'm not even teaching from a half a cup. You only get my overflow. That's it. You only get my overflow.
That is something I just learned. That is something that I had to see it in a different way.
Yeah.
Because I am a giver, and I don't mind. It does not bother me that I am a giver. I will continuously give. What I also had to learn is that, like you just said, I give from my overflow. I don't give to the point where I have nothing left.
Yeah. And that's a new one. Everybody. That's for your spouse. That's for your children. You give from your overflow. But how do you keep your cup full? How do you keep your cup overflowing? You may need to learn some new things. Going to get a massage is not filling up your cup. Now, mind you, it's something good now, but I'm talking about feeding your spiritual, your self, your emotions. Just when you look in the mirror, you should be ecstatic. You should be like, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Like, you should feel that way all the time. You should wake up saying, I get to wake up today. And if you don't have that train of thought, and let's just be clear, we have to be retaught that. Y'all know how when a student don't get something, what you got to do? You have to reteach it. So I need teachers to just stop. Think about what is in your bag. And how can you reteach yourself to still show up and be an effective teacher, but not to the point where you're working, you know, 19 out of 24 hours a day? That's just not right.
It's not. You're correct. It's not. Right. And so it's like you're saying, it's a mindset shift. Teachers have to reteach themselves, right? So let's shift that mindset. How do new teachers manage this idea that it's selfish, that self-care is selfish, that wellness is selfish, that taking time for myself is selfish? How do we help them to see that it's not selfish, that it's mandatory, it's necessary?
Well, look, I'm going to go back to my same question. When did you decide that? When did you, because it really makes you think, like, where did you learn that from, right? And so then you can go back and dissect it. And in the world of, I'm going to say NLP, I'm an NLP practitioner, that's neuro-linguistic programming. In that world of NLP versus the world of therapy, because people say, oh, you know, go to therapy, and therapy is excellent. You know, but the difference between the two is, in NLP, we help you to release things. We're not going to ask you about when Bobby Joe said you had big ears and now you wearing your hair over your ears. You've been subconscious about your ears for your entire life. We help you to release that. You go cut off all your hair because you could care less, and you don't rehash it. So in NLP, we help you to move forward, so that you don't have to keep reliving, you know, those things. So for new teachers, the one thing that you need to do, you need to walk in your purpose and know that you are worthy of every single thing that you want. And there's a difference. So I can say to you, you know how we used to feel on Christmas Eve, if you celebrate Christmas or if you don't, maybe your birthday or just a family vacation that you're excited about the night before, you can't even sleep. You all excited. You're like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. You done checked your bag several times. Or for Christmas, you trying to peek down the steps to see what's under the tree. That feeling, and I don't want to name it for people because it's your how you name that feeling, right? Could you imagine feeling that way about life all the time? I mean, just think about it for a second. It makes you right now, everyone is probably like, that would feel so good. Step into it. Step into it right now. Why can't you? So, you know, when did you decide that it's selfish to take care of myself so that I'm able to be here for the people that I love, so that I'm able to be here for the students that I love, because we do end up loving our kids. You probably could meet not one teacher that would not get between a student and somebody trying to hurt them. It is instinct. There's a different level. These are like your little coworkers, right? There's a different level at work that we take into work. Because your other jobs, you can kind of, you can separate a little bit. You may have a best friend at work that, you know, you really care about. But when you're a teacher, we fall hard for our students. So you need to take a step back and ask yourself, when did I decide, because you can't blame it on anybody else, when did I decide that it's selfish for me to take care of myself? And just start thinking about it. Eventually, you're going to say, I don't know where I got that from. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so then you start to think and you start to question and you start to get better at, how do I take care of me so that my cup is overflowing and not underflowing, where I'm just giving you all of my stuff and I have nothing left for me. That's going to be the phrase of the day. That's just not right. It's not right.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about as you are talking is, as a new teacher, I think you often take on these misconceptions just from observations. Yes. Nobody ever comes out and tells you to take your work home, right? But in order to get it done, how else would you accomplish all of these tasks if you didn't take the work home? How do you expect me to plan for every content that I am responsible for teaching? Sometimes you are creating resources. Now, I don't know why teachers are creating resources, because nowadays we have scripted resources. Just use the scripted lesson plan, especially as a first-year teacher. Just use the scripted lesson plan, right? So you are taking home your lesson plan because you still have to internalize it. I know that's our new buzzword, but it's accurate. You have to understand what you're teaching before you can teach it to someone else. The lesson planning alone is enough.
Yeah.
Right? When you add on building those relationships with your students, when you add in, a lot of teachers love to decorate those classrooms because it's their home away from home.
$1,000 on some.
Exactly. But to each their own, right? You spend your day, especially those first few days, trying to get that room perfect. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait, we start school in 5 days. I'm not ready. My room is gorgeous, but I'm not ready to teach. And then that's when you really start getting stressed out. Anxiety is already starting to build up. And the kids aren't even there yet. Because what you didn't realize is that within those 5 days, honey, that's not your time. You have meetings. You are going to have people coming in and out of your room asking you questions. You have other PD that you have to attend. So you don't get all of those days in your classroom to just dig into lessons and to make all the copies. Beginning of the year, we do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
We take it on because we say, I have to do all of these things because that's what I see those veteran teachers doing. Yeah.
And they need to relearn too.
Yes. And what they don't realize is those veteran teachers can do it in their sleep. Yeah. They're not recreating the wheel. They have all of this stuff. It's packed away in a box somewhere. So yes, it's super cute, but they did the work already. Yeah. They're just pulling it back out. Yeah. It's you who has to do all the extra work because it's your first year. But the problem is, it's not mandatory.
You're right. You're
thinking what you see other people do is mandatory, and it's not. It's a choice. It reminds me of Keeping Up with the Joneses. Keep up with what you're doing. But what I don't realize is that's a choice.
I'm not on that level yet. Exactly. I think that you need to, now, you know, we know that as new teachers, they are going to have to upfront, like front upload things, right? But you're right. And that's why teacher mentors are so important, to say that, really think about this. Is it better for you to have a plain bulletin board, but you have other things done in regards to being an effective teacher, and you can always come back and add something in this corner this day, add something in that corner, assign students, look, I'm gonna need you to put these letters up here if you finish your work, like to really get help from everyone. And you know, your classroom is like a little school. That's your community. And so you also teach your students how to treat you as well. It is important. But I think that that responsibility also has to come from the district. And so the new teachers are not the only people who need a mindset shift. School leaders need a mindset shift, and district office, because I'm going to take up for school leaders a little bit too, because guess what? They are burnt out as well. They're burnt out too. And it's like, if I'm burnt out, I know I'm going to be asking you for a whole bunch of stuff because I'm burnt out. So I think it's a whole, everybody needs to be retaught. and shift their mindset. Once school districts know that addressing the burnout and the overload and the overwhelm is going to be a strategy to help you to keep teachers and, you know, retain teachers for years, a 30-year veteran who's not just working because they don't have their retirement together. They're working because they love what they do. And once I put myself first and I'm in a position now, I really love what I do now. And so I'm making a conscious decision. I'm not ready to stop doing it because it keeps me connected in what I'm doing in my business.
That's right.
Yeah. And what I do now, I'm just like, oh, this is fun going to work now. I can't believe it.
To get to this space.
Yeah.
I think teachers, especially our new teachers, our substitute teachers, anyone transitioning into education from another career, like you have to give yourself time and grace to get to this space. Because it is fun, right? Like we thoroughly enjoy our jobs. Yeah. It is the end of the school year. I am not overwhelmed. I am not stressed. I am not burned out. The only reason I even know how many days I have left is because other teachers are doing the countdown.
Yeah.
I don't do countdowns because if I do it, my kids will know. And then they're counting down. And that's the thing we are not doing. Because
we're working to the end.
That's right. Look, I got you until the end. That's going to be fun. It's always fun.
Yeah.
But in order to maintain structure and consistency and a sense of calm in my room, we have to stick to the same structure and the same routine. So we're coming in and we're still doing reading. We are still doing writing. The content might change a little bit, but the structure, the way in which we do it, that's not changing.
Can you do it? Children are a creature of habits.
Yes.
And I shouldn't even say children. We all are. That's why you take home work every day, because you took it home last week, because you took it home last year, and you didn't stop and say, why am I doing this? I mean, so just grab a mirror sometime and talk to yourself and say, why are you doing this? If we start questioning our own behaviors, now, if you had a student in your room doing some maladaptive behaviors or what have you, you're going to be analyzing, you're going to be writing down that ABC, what they were doing before, during, and after the incident and all of those things, but you're not even questioning your own self why you don't go to bed every night till 1 o'clock doing work. You just still doing it because that's what I'm used to. Start questioning yourself.
I love that. I do, because I was actually going to ask you. So like, how do you recommend that teachers begin to reclaim that joy and that passion for their work when they're already discouraged, right? It is your first year teaching. You are at the end of the year. You can see the finish line and you're feeding off of the energy of the other adults in your space. The average teacher is counting down. The average teacher is overwhelmed and burned out, and they cannot wait for summer to get here. As a new teacher, you're feeding off of that, and you're doing one of two things, right? Either you're feeding into it, And so now you're mimicking their behavior, or you have turned yourself into a recluse. And so you're in your room and you're by yourself because you're trying to avoid the negativity. You see it, but you're like, am I the crazy one? Cause I still like my job. Like, I still enjoy this. Like, is it me?
And you probably signed up to teach school over the summer. Don't even get me started.
Now, look, that is a whole nother series that we have coming. I'm already ready. I have a whole series on teaching summer school. Yeah. Because you can go one of two ways, right? One, you can continue to burn yourself out because you really don't need to be teaching summer school. You really do need to take the whole summer off.
And rest.
And we don't know what people have going on in their lives.
Yeah.
People do summer school for a reason.
Exactly.
It is a reason. And who are we to shame or guilt them?
Yeah.
Because they're doing what they have to do to keep their head above water. Right.
But you also need to make sure that you schedule that time, because a lot of teachers are going to teach summer school. So, you know, you may have that countdown, but then reality is you done signed up to work over the summer as well. And just like you said, everyone may not have that luxury of not having to work. And so what I'm going to say to that is you have a cause and effect, right? And we need to live in cause at all times. Now, that doesn't mean that when someone does something to you that you say, oh, what did I do to cause this? Because people going to do what they do. But what you can ask yourself in that cause is, how am I going to respond to that? That is your cause. So if you know that every summer you have no choice because of funds or whatever, that you have to work, but you really don't want to work, I'm going to challenge you right now to say, what do I need to do financially so I won't be in that position every summer, so that I can decide if I want to fool with you or not over the summer? So again, it's that same thing of doing things because you're used to doing them. And when I say thrive in and outside of the classroom, outside means looking at your money and taking responsibility for everything that you put on yourself. And so when I say check what's in your bag, if you got a whole bunch of receipts from Marshalls and you ain't even using the stuff, you better check that bag. You better check that bag. Live in cause. If you're living in cause, you're always going to see, how did you contribute to this? How did my response contribute to this? And it could be, I didn't contribute to this at all. It could be, but my response contributed to this situation, right? What it does is it helps you to just start to question. You know, when a student starts to ask questions, you get all excited. The other students learn from that student asking a question. Another question comes up because that question was answered. Apply what you do in your classroom every day to yourself. Like I said, the answer is like right here, but we keep going all the way under it, around it. You can't go through it and you just make it seem like it's not right there, because we simply don't just stop and sit with yourself for a minute. So I would say, you know, most definitely check what's in your bag. Sit with yourself in the morning for 5 minutes. Don't get on your phone as soon as you wake up. We could have a whole other show about that blue light on your phone.
I'm so guilty.
Don't do it. Your phone shouldn't even be charging up by you in your bed. Your phone should be across the room somewhere charging up. So when I tell you I go into deep teacher wellness, this is not some, like I said, all the teachers go get a massage, or you have your teacher appreciation week and that's it. This is real life. How do you make your life better? And meditation is one tool, one strategy that I use. I even have a free, I like to call it an active meditation. You don't even have to sit still for 5 minutes. You can listen to this meditation on your way to work every day to set your intention for the day. And I'll give that information so teachers can download that. But at the end of the day, if you want different, you have to do different.
That's right. You
have to start somewhere. You got to just start with one little thing. I'm going to wait at least 10 minutes after I wake up before I touch my phone.
So
that's one thing I can give you.
Oh my gosh. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. So we like, I just love talking to you because it's so natural. It's just a natural conversation. And so we got on a tangent, a much needed tangent.
Yes.
But I'm going to bring us back because I love to give our listeners something very concrete. There can be no excuses. We are going to give you the strategies that you need to be successful, right? And so by the end of the school year, we have some new teachers who are really just overwhelmed. And what we want to do is make sure, simplistically put, that you come back next year because we love you and you got into this field for a reason. You are passionate about education. And yes, we know that it's hard, but we are here to help you and to support you. And what I'm hearing from you is that one of the strategies that you use is to have individuals sit with themselves and question some of the misconceptions, some of the thoughts that they have. So when we say by the end of the year that you're overwhelmed and burned out, it is typically because your behaviors are high.
Yes.
And you just can't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
And because for some reason you are still overworking yourself. Maybe you are analyzing data. Maybe you are over lesson planning. What I am hearing you say is in this moment, sit down and ask yourself, why am I so overwhelmed?
Yeah.
Try to pinpoint what is causing your burnout.
Yes. And even to take it a step further, after you do that, and you could journal and just write down things. Let me make it positive. What you want to do is you want to write down things that you love. What can make your life absolutely brighten up and light up for you that you say, I get to go and teach kids today? What is it about that? Or what are things that can make you feel that way? I use meditation a lot, well, in everything, because for those of you, and you may be religious, spiritual, whatever, you may call it prayer, you may call it, you know, speaking to whoever your highest power is. But meditation means that you're sitting with yourself and it allows you to listen to your spirituality. It allows you to listen to whoever that or whatever that higher power is. It allows you to, guess what? For your subconscious part of you, the one that's been leading you and guiding you your entire life, because we live in the consciousness a lot and we don't take the time so that our subconscious mind can take over, because that is a part of you that keeps you awake at night. It keeps you breathing. You're not sitting there thinking, okay, inhale, okay, exhale. It does it automatically. It's the part of you when you go into a store and you get a funny feeling, you like, nah, I'm going to go back to my car. Or you walking down the street and you like, I'm going to go this way. That intuition, that's your subconscious mind that we learn to ignore, especially girls. We learn to ignore that. So, you know, just to recap, because, you know, like you say, yeah, we can go off. So you want to analyze and just use the bag as a reference. What do you think you're carrying inside of your bag? And list those things. And then guess what? You may not be able to take all of them out at once because you learn to rely on things. And some people like to be stressed out. Some people like to be able to say, oh, I was up to 2:00 in the morning, and you just don't know the other people in their head going, girl, you crazy. Ain't nobody going to do that. If you think they going, oh, you are a beautiful person because you stayed up to 2:00 in the morning working on some stuff. In their head, they calling you all kinds of crazy. So some of us like things like that. So I need you to really sit down and write down what is in your bag, and you may have to take things out gradually. Then you make a list. What am I going to put in my bag for tomorrow? Do it day by day. You can empty out your bag every single day and put other stuff in. You may decide from watching this show tomorrow, I'm putting the word no in my bag. I'm going to tell somebody in that building tomorrow, no. Now, be nice now. You ain't got to say it like that. But you know what I mean? I'm going to put in a boundary for tomorrow. And then you reanalyze, you know, analyze it every single day and look at it, because it's going to help you to set your intention. Meditate. I just told you, you can go to teacherrecess.com. Get your free, it's an active meditation. Look, medication. That was a mistake. Meditation. You can listen to it on your way to work. It's going to help you to set your intention. And could you imagine if you came into work every single day being happy that you woke up, being excited that you get to teach these children. Could you imagine how their day is going to go because they have a teacher that fully knows who they are and fully is aligned with their purpose of why they started teaching in the first place. And they remember it every single day. You can't measure that. You can't put that on a scale, you know?
That is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so, so much. Thank you so much for your compassion. Like, you can hear how passionate you are about helping and supporting educators in the classroom. And not only educators, our students. Because you have said many times the same things that our educators are doing or in need of is the same thing our children are doing and are in need of.
Yeah.
So to all of our listeners, I am going to link in the show notes Daryl's website, teacherrecess.com. Is that correct? So I'm going to put the link to your website in our show notes. Make sure you check out some of those free resources that she mentioned throughout the show. I know I will. Let me be the first one to say, I know I will be there. Before we close out for today, is there anything, any final words you would like to say to all of the new teachers who are listening? It is May and they are just trying to make it through.
Well, you know what? The first thing I want to say is thank you. Thank you. Because I am a parent that my child I didn't homeschool. And I just want to say thank you, because this is not a profession that you just go into work and do duties and leave. You actually use a part of who you are as a person at work. That takes a lot. And it takes a really, it takes a really beautiful person to share a part of them with other people all day. So thank you. And I hope you take this time this summer to realign yourself and do some things so that you come back next school year refreshed and think about all those babies that you're going to impact and think about how good your life is going to be, because you're going to thrive in and outside of the classroom.
There is nothing left to say. That is the perfect way to end our episode today. To all of our listeners, make sure that you check the show notes so that you can connect with Daryl anytime you need some support. Make sure that you are taking it one step at a time. Take it one day at a time. Set a boundary. Breathe a little deeper. Do a little meditation. Revisit this episode whenever you need to. Always remember that you are not just surviving in the classroom. You are thriving with a purpose. Until next time.